Hey there, this is Phil. I'm giving you a special treat this week. My friend Darren Streblo has a radio show called the Darren Streblo Comedy Show, Comedy Radio Hour, something like that. You can go to darrenstreblo.com and check it out. Thanks, Sky. But Sunday School Lady, my old Sunday school teacher character from What's in the Bible, has been calling him on his radio show to discuss certain topics. And so in honor of the end of the Olympics, we're going to play Sunday School Lady in conversation with Darren Streblo, ultimately on the topic of the Olympics. Here goes.
Hello, Darren. Or should I call you Mr. Streblo?
Either one is fine. So is Sunday School Lady your birth name?
My birth name was Sunday School Baby. But I felt at a certain time I'd outgrown that name. So it went to Sunday School Child and then, you know, Sunday School Rebellious Teenager for just about a year until I re-met Jesus, and now Sunday School Lady.
So, well, that's fantastic. How old are you, for the record, Sunday School?
I can't tell you that.
Oh, I'd love to know.
Will you never ask a woman her age?
No, but
what's
you're unusual.
What's the matter with you?
You're unusual that way. So,
who raised you?
Oh, no, I don't know. You're older than me, probably just a little bit.
I'm old enough that I remember when the Old Testament was the New Testament. Let's just say that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, what was your training? I know you were a missionary at one point. What was your training for your knowledge of Sunday school?
It was missions. It was trying to whack natives on the head with Holy Scripture. You try different techniques, and the ones that work, you retain, and you reject the others. It's sort of a survival of the fittest.
Do they have a version of the Olympics for the natives over there?
No. The natives, they were not into the Olympics because they couldn't understand a word Jim McKay said.
Okay.
They liked the music, though. And if you think about it, half of the Olympics is just the music.
It is. It is indeed.
In fact, you can turn off the picture and you can still get most of the Olympics just from the music. Because of the agony of defeat and the glory. What's the other one? The glory of the victory. The fame of the mighty. I don't know what it is. But you don't need the pictures.
The apathy of the depressed, yes.
Yeah, there are people that do something, and one of them wins. That's basically the story of every Olympic event.
That's true. Very
true. It doesn't
vary.
There's no variation. I don't know why. You know there's sailing in the Olympics?
I think I did know that. Yeah,
sailing.
Yeah,
which is just like a hobby for rich people, you know.
That's right.
And only rich people can do it because it's really expensive. So it's like, why do they need a medal? You're rich already. It's just insulting to everyone else. So actually, a medal is worth something to them. You could buy the Olympics, and yet you're in there competing with your little boat going around in circles saying, look at me. I also don't get, you know, the bicycle racing, not the ones where they actually go someplace.
Right.
But the ones that are like roller derby for bicycles. What is that? And how do they? Well, I think they should make the circle get smaller and smaller and smaller during the race. So it'd be like almost like getting flushed. And so it really is more about survival than just pedaling. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Well, I don't know.
It'd be fantastic. You know, everyone would be like getting sucked into a black hole of bicyclists. They'd all end up occupying the same, like, one square centimeter.
And the mass would be greater than that of lead. It would just draw
all
gravity to itself.
I know, and life could not escape, nor could the Olympic theme. Suck the music right out of the Olympics into the vortex of bicycles.
I don't know. This could be a tragic ending for the Olympics, your idea here.
Which I don't think would be all that bad. Do you?
Well, I tend to wonder when I see events like ping pong, for example.
Yeah, I know. And why not shuffleboard? Where is shuffleboard? Why isn't that it? Or roller derby, for that matter. Why isn't roller derby in the Olympics? How do they decide? Do you know what my favorite event is to watch?
What is it?
I like water polo.
Water polo? Why is that?
You know why I like water polo?
No, I don't.
It's the only sport where they get to wear Speedos and baby bonnets.
What purpose does the baby bonnet serve for the sport?
I don't know. It keeps them from getting their hair wet, I think. I don't know.
Who would want that in a pool? Yeah.
Or maybe there was a problem with some of them, like whacking each other in the ears, you know, come up behind somebody. I think it was something the East Germans were doing during the Cold War. They'd sneak up behind you and box your ears, and you'd just sink below the wave.
That's
never
right.
Never to be seen again.
So they came up with an anti-ear boxing bonnet. That's it's brilliant.
You got to wear the baby bonnet. I don't like to watch the Greek team, though, because they're like swarthy little babies. I'm not into swarthy babies. That's not a good look for me. You know what I mean?
I think I do. Sunday School Lady, always great to have you on the show. Thanks for your perspective on life, and keep up the good fight, will you?
You're very welcome, Mr. Striblo. See you later.
Okay, we're back. This is Phil. I am back here. It's the show. We're here with Sky Giattani.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Sky. And Christian Taylor.
Hey, you.
Hey, we're all here again. Let's jump in with the theme song, because we've got all sorts of stuff to talk about today. But I'm going to bring this theme song down a little. We're going to mellow it out today. So light a candle, turn off the lights. This is a little moody.
Unless you're in your car.
Yeah, don't do no candles in cars, because the hot wax will make you swerve. Hey, it's a podcast. What do you know? Hey, it's a podcast, so there's no video. Hey, it's a podcast, so lend an ear. The Phil Vischer podcast starts right here. This is good if one of your kids are asleep and we don't want to wake them up. This is a quiet version. We'll talk to Sky and Christian too, and not a guest, because there's none here for you, because they'd probably wake up your baby. Hey, it's a podcast, so lend an ear. The Phil Vischer podcast starts right here. The Phil Vischer podcast starts right here. Here. Okay, good. Nobody's babies will put everybody to sleep. Well, that's the benefit of performing your theme song live, is you can do it differently.
Absolutely.
You know, like next week I might do it in Hebrew.
I think you should do it in Sunday School Lady voice.
Oh, we could do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we could have different characters.
Different dialects.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then we could play the game where we do a VeggieTales character singing the theme song, and we see how long it takes to get sued.
Yeah, that's right.
Start the clock now. Sky and I are back. Oh, Christian got a concussion.
Hey, what'd you say?
Christian was smote by the spirit.
By, in the shape of a board.
A bedpost?
What happened?
You didn't hear this story?
No.
Oh, my word.
Is this why you're driving a tiny car?
She's moving.
This is why I go, what's that word?
She's been moving, and she was moving stuff around her garage.
Yes, I was. I'd actually asked my two sons to do that.
Yeah, big strapping boys.
And
they
I
didn't.
Came home, and they did not. And so I was not happy, to say the least. And so I said, all you have to do is just move this. And I did. And this giant bedpost fell on my head. I fell over, and I said, that was hard enough to give me a concussion. And as my son stood there and looked at me, one of them said, you should put some ice on that. And the other one just stood there, and he said, somebody should go get some ice. And they just stood there, and he goes, oh, forget it. I'll just go get some ice. And an hour later, I got sick to my stomach and kind of dizzy, and I've had a headache for like a week and a half. And
the coach wouldn't let you go back in the game.
No, I can't play football right now.
Did you have that looked at?
I did, actually.
Okay.
You know what he said? The doctor walked in and said, so, you're concussed.
Really?
That's what he said. Exactly.
You're officially concussed.
I'm officially concussed.
Wow.
And so just so you know, when you get hit on the head and you have a concussion, it takes at least 2 weeks for your brain bruise to go away.
Wow.
And you just can't do crazy stuff.
And did your boys learn a lesson from this?
Yeah. Are they sorry?
They did.
Are they repentant?
They did not apologize. And my, 22-year-old who's about to go in the Army, who just last week saved someone's life in a car accident by, like, putting his finger on his jugular vein, that son stood there and did nothing.
Yeah, he saved a man's life last week, and this week he watched you lie on the floor of your garage.
Yep.
Wow.
With a bruised brain. So it was an interesting week.
Our relationships with our kids are complicated.
They're so complicated.
You know, I mean, if it's a stranger.
Yeah, why can he save his life?
I will be noble. Oh, it's my mom. Oh, it's my mom.
She'll be fine.
That's not cool. It's not cool
fine.
To
She's
save your...
She's far worse.
True. That is so true.
It's not cool to save your mom. My ukulele has a name now.
Oh, no.
Ooh,
and
oh,
the
gosh.
Reason it has a name is that we were at... Sky and I were at the Okoboji Lakes Bible Missionary Conference last week, which for... Thank you. In Arnold's Park, Iowa, which is, you know, been going on for, I guess it was the 78th year, started by my great-grandfather. And so my whole family's there. My brother's there. My sister's there. All my nieces and nephews, cousins, aunts.
You better watch it. Now everybody's going to go to Okoboji.
Yeah, so come. Come to Okoboji, as long, but give a little
it's
money.
Because
it's free. It doesn't cost anything to go. You just have to supply your own housing. But then all the stuff is free, but with a free love offering.
Okay, so your ukulele has
So anyway, so I'm there with my... And I brought my ukulele because we travel together now.
It's his only friend.
It's... I brought my ukulele, and so I was planning... Because Sky and I were going to record a podcast, which was last week's podcast, which we recorded at Arnold's Park, Iowa, at Okoboji Lakes Bible Missionary Conference with my brother Rob, so I needed my ukulele. So I was kind of wandering around, you know, the condo. We're in timeshare condos, wandering around the condo playing the ukulele. My niece, Lila, my brother's daughter, who is 8 or 9, just said, oh, that's so cool. I want to see the ukulele. So I taught her a couple of chords. So she's running around with the ukulele. She finally says, does your ukulele have a name? And I said,
as every 8 or 9-year-old girl would
yeah,
ask.
Yeah, I said, no, it doesn't. And she said, would it be okay if I named your ukulele? And I said, sure. What do you think he or she should be named? And she came back later and said, I think your ukulele is Pete.
Pete?
Pete.
Was there any explanation?
No. No.
Pete the ukulele.
But she had so much fun with the ukulele. The ukulele actually kind of became a star. Because there is, the meetings are held in this big old, we call it the Tabernacle. It was built in the 50s. It's like a big barn with garage doors along both sides, and it's not air conditioned, so you have to open all the garage doors.
Yeah, just speaking there, you sweat.
Yeah, speaking in there, you can get kind of,
I can see that. Like,
you can get kind of sweaty. But it's fun. It's fun. My great grandfather preached there. My grandpa preached there.
That's so cool.
I preached there.
It's a throwback.
Sky preaches there. I don't know what he's doing there. He's not related to us at all, but you know, we're trying to get two of our kids to get married so we can be related. And then he can, you know.
Did you know about
I think
that?
My kids are a little younger than yours.
Well, one of my brother's kids.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah,
your
right.
son, you know, and maybe one of my brother's daughters.
But wait a second. What about mine? Work. I want in that family.
Well, you,
can we
you've
match up
been
somebody
to Okoboji.
With Josh?
You've
no,
never
I,
been
I haven't,
Okoboji.
But I mean, I'm on the podcast.
Yeah.
You know,
believe me, pretty much everyone in Phil's family met in some way. Through
yeah.
Okoboji.
I met my wife at Okoboji. My sister met her husband at Okoboji. Just my brother's the only one who did not meet.
But his wife grew up visiting Okoboji,
yes,
but they
did.
Didn't actually meet.
But not
there.
The Bible conference. It was just the lake.
Right.
Lake Okoboji. So anyway, okay, so outside the tabernacle, we started something new this year. It was Terry Esau's idea, and that was, if you go down, there's an old amusement park, and in the amusement park, there's a Nutty Bar stand. Nutty Bars are ice cream, square ice cream on a stick that's in chocolate and peanuts.
Not just square,
that's
but like cube
favorite.
Shaped.
Cube. Cubical ice cream
yeah.
on a stick.
Kind of like the old Red Robin.
Like the old Red Robin. Very cool. And so we always go down to the Nutty Bar stand after the evening services to have a Nutty Bar. They decided this year, let's do a deal with the Nutty Bar people, the family. It's a family-owned business in Arnold's Park, Iowa. And let's sell Nutty Bars after the services right there next to the old tabernacle. Out of a little freezer, and
it's putting change tables up in the courtyard of the
Yeah, well, we're Protestants.
I was tempted to throw over that Nutty Bar freezer.
So that's what he did, and Terry Esau and his wife manned the Nutty Bar stand outside the tabernacle Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. Thursday, they came up to my brother Rob and I after his class and said, hey, we aren't going to be here tomorrow night. Would you two sell Nutty Bars? And my first thought was, oh, that's a terrible idea. I've spoken this week. Everybody knows I'm here. Every kid that wants to hear a funny voice is going to come up to me. And instead of buying a Nutty Bar, make me do VeggieTales voices. This is a nightmare. But so I was talking about it with my brother. I said, well, wait a minute. Why don't you sell the Nutty Bars? And I'll bring my ukulele, and I'll come up with a Nutty Bar song, and I'll just entertain the crowd. and then, you know, it won't interfere
with
this.
Sounds like a good mix.
Yeah, so the MC of the conference that night announced that if you want a nutty bar tonight, the nutty bars will be sold by and Rob Vischer, and Phil is bringing his ukulele. So we had his ukulele Pete. So we ended up with a huge crowd around the Nutty Bar stand, and I played my ukulele, making up songs about Nutty Bars for a solid hour.
Wow.
An hour of uninterrupted ukulele. That's
and sales were through the roof.
We
right?
sold 160 Nutty Bars, sold out.
You should go to the street corner in downtown Wheaton, and you might make a killing.
I don't know that it would have the same effect.
Oh.
In downtown Wheaton or downtown Chicago, as it does in Arnold's Park, Iowa.
You might get money just out of pity. Look at it, he can't even afford a full-size guitar.
There is the pity vote.
Poor dumb thing.
So anyway, the ukulele is frankly exhausted, which is why we did the low-key.
Is that why
theme
you were looking
song.
For new ukuleles
Pete
on your
was
computer
tired.
No, I
today?
Was just wondering, you know, after you become so acquainted with the ukulele, you start to wonder, are there lots of ukuleles out there? I'm not that way in marriage, you know, but with ukuleles,
I hope not.
There's no holy bond between a man and a ukulele.
Oh, don't let Pete hear that.
As far as I know.
Yeah, right.
No.
Well, didn't some commenter mention earlier that they're brought to joy with every plinky pluck?
Plinky plunk.
Plinky plunk of Pete.
And she was very happy that
she
got that.
Plinky plunk to you, pal.
Sorry.
Yeah, I've gotten more. Pete has gotten more fan mail.
Sounds
He's
like a
pretty
spiritual
excited.
Bond to me.
Of course, it may go to his head and he'll demand, you know, payment or equal billing.
Well, it's a
and
free podcast.
That's where I just have to show him the Guitar Center website and how many other ukuleles are waiting in the wings.
Plenty of fish in the sea, Pete.
Pete, you could be replaced. Just try to stay
just
in
saying. Tune.
Okay, what's going on this week? The Olympics are over. Yeah, I tweeted yesterday that I kind of had an Olympic withdrawal because there was nothing on TV worth anyone getting a medal for.
Well, the political conventions are coming, and politics is heating
that
up. Isn't that kind of the next big thing?
No. Can't even say that in the same breath. Do you know what I loved? Other than, I mean, a part of the Olympics, we have a HD TV, and so the views of London were
those were cool.
Stunning. I mean, and I don't know if it was the only week that it didn't really rain all the time in England, but, I mean, it was just gorgeous.
See politics. You never see someone's parents in the stands crying with pride.
Well, you kind of did
in
with
politics.
W. You saw George W.
was
Bush's father.
Was that pride?
I don't know.
Was he crying with pride?
Maybe they were crying that.
Let's just don't go down this road, please. But, move along. These are not the droids you're looking
by his
for.
Own admission, the black sheep of the family. So maybe to see
So you assume if you've been elected president of the United States, you've officially made good. Is that what you're saying?
I think it's pretty hard to
deny
if your
that.
Parents are not
but
happy
look,
with that, then
Mom,
they've got really whack standards.
I'm the president.
Well, you know, speaking of...
Doesn't that make up for all the stupid stuff I did in high school?
When you get into the biographies of a lot of presidents, how many of them had daddy issues?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Daddy?
I mean, look at Barack Obama.
How many have you read?
Well, a number of them. Barack Obama never really knew his father.
Yeah.
Right? George W. Bush.
Okay, there's one.
Wait a minute. George W. Bush had
a
difficult relationship with his father growing up.
Because he was a black sheep.
Right.
Okay.
Bill Clinton never knew his father.
Teddy Roosevelt?
I don't know.
Teddy Roosevelt, his father, to teach the boys how to swim, would take them to the end of the dock and toss them into the lake.
There you go. That's very
loving.
Loving.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan's father was an abusive alcoholic.
Okay.
It just goes down.
Jimmy Carter had a good father.
In Dixon, Illinois.
And look, he only made one term.
Jimmy Carter had a good father.
So all you boys out there who have difficult relationships with your father,
will be president.
Well, the idea is
you have a 90% chance of being president.
And what's interesting, some of them had really bad relationships with their mother, like Nixon and Johnson. But the interesting thing is, the theory is that these guys channel their issues into an ambitious career where they desperately need the attention and affection of the world. And that's what drives them into politics.
So what about acting? Is that...
Actors
too.
Don't even go.
I mean, was Johnny Depp's dad like? I can only imagine.
I'm an actress, and my father is fabulous.
Well, okay, there we've put that.
That's enough. Let's move along.
We've put that to rest.
I'm simply saying that well-adjusted people don't often pursue the heights of politics.
Yeah. So. Okay. Sky sent me a story, and it baffles me a bit, but he seems to feel it's deeply relevant to the future of Christianity. Bill Gates sponsored a seminar, sponsored a meeting for people to invent the toilet of the future.
He boldly wants to go where no one has gone before.
That was too
sorry.
Easy.
Oh, is that why you sent me that story? So
no,
that you
I tweeted.
That?
I did tweet that though when I found the article.
Okay.
So why don't you fill us in?
Well, they're trying to develop toilet because toilets, you know, the lack of sanitation does all sorts of wreaks havoc on public health in the third world. And they
don't use the word third world anymore. That's
fourth?
Not PC.
Is it down to fourth?
The developing world.
Developing world.
Oh,
there's the developed and the developing.
What are the under the middle? Is there? Well, what was the second world?
What is the second world?
China?
Isn't that Middle Earth?
They need toilets in Middle Earth.
Have you? Yeah.
Yes, we need hobbit-sized toilets. I keep falling in. My furry little feet are wet.
I think those are leprechauns.
Yeah, that does
same
sound leprechaun-ish.
Difference.
Same
difference.
So doesn't it say something like 4 out of 10?
Yeah, we need a toilet that works in the developing third world.
Because only 4% or something. What did
you say? Bill Gates said the flush toilets we use in the wealthy world are irrelevant, impractical, and impossible for 40% of the global population because they often don't have access to water and sewers, electricity, and sewage treatment systems.
Right.
So they need a
toilet that doesn't need any of that stuff.
Well, that's what they have in Indonesia. It's called a hole in the ground.
Yeah, but then that can also lead to all kinds of bad things
with
contamination and
people falling in the hole.
You know, they
snakes
don't use toilet
coming
paper
out
either
of the hole and biting you.
Speaking of, when
in
I was in South Africa not too long ago, and I was going through the airport in Johannesburg, and I saw a sign that said toilets and then Muslim toilets.
Oh. What?
There was a separate sign for Muslim. And I said, what is a Muslim toilet?
Yeah.
Turns out it's just the hole in the ground. It really isn't a Muslim toilet. What they mean is a Middle Eastern toilet. Because in a lot of those, even in India to this day, you can go to a lot of places and they'll have toilets that are built, but they're just holes in the ground, and they often will have painted footprints.
Oh, for stand here?
Right. And that's kind of how it works.
I went on a mission trip to Indonesia, and we went up in the hills to the developing region, and that is what they had. And they used their left hand instead of the paper.
I don't
sorry
even
but anyway, it was so and they or the I'm walls gonna and it was so bad that I just couldn't go for 2 days.
Well, the first time I went to India,
I think I'm going to stop the show right here and summarize with a song.
Isn't no wait, so good? Go ahead. First time you went to India.
Oh, everybody poops.
Here we go.
In Indonesia.
I'm not sure Pete is comfortable.
Wasn't that what he said? Something about everybody.
So what's the point, Sky?
Well, wait a minute. Back
what
up. My first trip to
he
India.
He did bring this up. It is all about toilets.
I will get to the point in a second. First time I went to India, I mentioned this on the last podcast. I was about 2.5 years old. And apparently my mom tells me this story. They didn't want to pack all the diapers. So they basically potty trained me before we got on the plane to go to India.
That's ambitious.
Like rushed potty training?
Yeah, and she said I took to it like fish to water. And we get off the plane in India, and of course I have to go to the bathroom, so my dad takes me to the bathroom in the airport, and it's just a hole in the ground. And I looked at this totally confused because I was just potty trained, and now he's telling me, there you go, and there's no potty. So it apparently screwed me up. I'm still in therapy over this.
Yeah.
And you know how they say if a kid doesn't potty train well, they're going to be maladjusted for
right.
I might pursue politics now.
Yeah, you'll probably be the president because of your potty problems.
Okay, so the point of this story, I think it's interesting because here is the richest man in the world who's trying to solve one of the biggest problems in the world, which is a toilet. And to me, this speaks to something Christians should be involved in.
We should be involved in toilets.
Toilets.
Okay. Well, I think what's interesting about Bill Gates is how he has transformed into a superhero from a villain. He was basically a supervillain, and now he's a superhero.
How is he a supervillain?
Well,
because he stole.
If you didn't really follow technology closely, Microsoft was the most hated company on Earth, and their anti-competitive practices were so bad that almost every Justice Department in the Western world sued them.
Because they were bundling things.
Yeah,
and
they were incredibly anti-competitive, and a lot of technology never saw the light of day because Bill Gates didn't want it to see the light of day because it didn't say Microsoft on it. So every state Justice Department Attorney General of all 50 states in the U.S. sued him. The U.S. sued him, and most of the countries of the European Union sued him to stop anti-competitive practices. He had so much attention put on him because of that he fundamentally could no longer function as a businessman in a way that he enjoyed. So he resigned.
Became a philanthropist.
Because of his wife. Because at the point where he got married, he admitted that he had never given a dollar to anyone his entire life.
Wow.
And then he got married. He's the richest man in the world. He's never given a dollar to charity. He gets married. His wife says, "We're going to change you." It's like when you get someone new clothes. You know, when you say, "You're not wearing that anymore." You know, basically said, "You're not going to be that guy anymore."
Yay,
that's pretty
Melinda.
Bold on her part.
That
you know,
is.
I think
yes.
a lot of wives marry their husbands thinking, "I'm going to change you," but most cases, you're not the richest
but
person
you know
on the planet.
You've got to give him credit for responding.
He went along with it because he decided it was a way to apply his aggressive nature. You know, I am going to cure tuberculosis. Mm-hmm. I am going to, you know, so she just redirected him from, "I am going to crush Netscape." You know, "I am going to destroy AOL," to, "I'm going to destroy malaria," which is a much more productive thing. It would be nice if there was a woman behind every crazy man to just redirect their crazy in a more productive direction.
I think that's a good woman
yeah.
And,
does and yeah. Now the Gates Foundation is saying 4 in 10 people worldwide don't have a safe way to poop.
Yeah.
That is his new mission to crush.
His mission is pleasant pooping for the entire population.
We got to put that on a shirt.
Pleasant pooping, everyone. Speaking of T-shirts.
Let's talk about that.
Christian wants to...
I have a big idea.
Christian wants to do giveaways.
Sky and Christian.
Yeah, and I'm kind of opposed to the idea because it sounds like more homework. Anything that makes it harder to put on the show.
Okay, I'm going to say this once and for all. You will not have to do anything.
Phil doesn't believe in rewarding his listeners.
I will take care of this, and this is how it could go down.
It's something else that can go wrong. You know,
we'll just crawl into your little hole and go to sleep.
Adding a layer of complexity.
I want to love on our listeners, and I think
I do not go to sleep.
They're requesting this, Phil.
We have people asking us to make T-shirts.
Yeah,
and they have some super creative ideas.
Yeah,
and I also think that there are not enough people that know about this awesome What's in the Bible DVD, and we have some free ones to give away, and I think we should.
Okay, so you're saying we should do a giveaway, and every week we give away a DVD and or a T-shirt, but we don't have any T-shirts yet.
We have to get the T-shirts made yet.
And we're open to suggestions.
I'll give you one of the gray T-shirts that I wear, just a blank gray.
Yeah, you're like Steve Jobs in that regard. You have a
very
simple wardrobe.
You got to simplify your life. Einstein had 5 sets of the same suit, Albert Einstein, and so every day he didn't have to think about what to wear. He just put on the next one. In his closet, and then they went
to
the
cleaners. So what are you using your freed-up brain capacity to accomplish, Phil?
To design T-shirts for other people to wear. No.
You don't want to do that.
Walking the children of America through the Bible. By the way, What's in the Bible number 9 is done, and in stores you can order
Woo-hoo!
It. Ring the bell. You can go to whatsinthebible.com and order it right there, or go to Amazon, or go to christianbook.com.
And I think it's my favorite because of the Devo song.
I did a Devo song at the end. Clive and Ian and Sunday School Lady do a tribute to 80s new wave music.
You will never look at the Old Testament the same way again.
Probably the weirdest song I've ever written.
It's awesome.
It may be. So anyway, run. Don't walk. And then if you get it, then we won't have to give you one for free. And then we don't have to do the giveaways.
That's not true. Oh. Anyway, go to whatsinthebible.com to order DVD 9. And if you didn't get 8, you could pick it up while you're at it.
But anyway, and 1 through 7.
Here's how the giveaway is going to go. All
okay.
right. So every week, each one of us takes a turn. So I'll take the first turn in picking the winner.
Okay.
And then next week, it'll be you, and you the third week.
And these winners are selected by people who...
forget it. We'll leave you out.
Send in messages or questions.
Right, that's the next thing. We're going to pick. It's going to be our discretion, but we're going to pick whoever chimes in that week with something interesting or creative, like the week we did the ukulele and the woman loved your plinkety-plunk and it melted her heartstrings.
Right.
She could have gotten a giveaway. But
she could have,
but
we haven't started it yet. Sorry, plinky-plunk.
She just got, you know, wonderful love over the...
I should name my ukulele Plinky.
Ooh, I like that.
Plinky Pete. Like Stinky Pete from Toy Story 3.
Okay, it is. That's it now. It's Plinky Pete.
You need Kelsey Grammer to voice him.
Why, Plinky Pete?
Okay, so let me give you the way that this is going to go down.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to pick something, and the first one that I am picking is the guy that was the first person to suggest it. And unfortunately, I don't know his name yet, but I'm going to go back and find it, and we'll tell him next week.
Okay.
And then we are going to give them an email address with which to email the producer, who is me.
Yeah.
And they'll email me, I'll get their information, and we'll send them their gift.
So in other words, you have to keep listening every week to know if you're the winner.
Oh, I see. So this is a way to manipulate the audience
listening. It's just to keep them engaged and reward them
ultimately
for their listenership.
It's good for us.
Ultimately.
This is marketing, right?
But
this is marketing.
Like family members and of people connected to the show.
They can't win. Oh, yeah. We have to come up with a whole list of exclusions.
Right.
if you're related to us or you listen to our podcast, you're ineligible.
No.
If you're ambiguously ethnic.
If you're ambiguous or you play the ukulele.
So what were the two suggestions of the first T-shirt?
One was ambiguously ethnic.
Yeah, that's a good T-shirt.
And the other suggestion?
The second one was a quote that apparently Sky and I said jointly. A dream is a wish a heart makes
out of fear
wrapped in bacon, which came out of our mouths.
Put that on your t-shirt and smoke it.
Podcast. So
I love that.
I got to make that into a song.
Okay, so wait.
A dream is a wish a heart makes out of fear and wrapped in bacon.
Okay, so if you think that's a good idea, please chime in on Phil's Facebook page.
Right.
Or
say
his
something.
Twitter.
Say something.
Or iTunes.
Or if you think, boy, that just sounds like something that's going to be a lot of work and it might stress poor Phil out. Because he seems to be he's a donkey
on
the edge. You know
what? We're overriding you because it's 2-1. So,
and I'm not going to do anything.
And I'm going to do the work. And I'm not getting paid anyway. So why do you even argue with me?
I just want a t-shirt.
Yeah. Okay.
Me too. I want a t-shirt.
That's a great idea. I'm all behind it.
Oh, just move along. These are not the droids you're looking for.
Gosh, you're like Eeyore today.
Plinky Pete. You know, my wife used to call me Eeyore a lot.
He's got the depressing ukulele song at the beginning.
Well,
he's just poo-pooing everything, including the toilets of the future.
Okay, so if he's Eeyore, who are you?
Tigger? Pooh?
You are so bouncy. Oh, yeah, you're Pooh after that story.
I'm Pooh.
Your name is Pooh.
I am not Tigger. I am definitely not a Tigger personality.
All right, I'm moving on.
Piglet, Roo?
Hey, we landed a new rover on Mars.
We?
And by that, I don't mean
the
dog. I mean,
what's the purpose of that?
It's huge. It's very cool. It's called, actually, technologically speaking, it is very cool. It is a 1-ton, 2,000-pound rover. It's the size of a small SUV. We landed it on Mars. It's like 10 times bigger than anything we've ever put on Mars before. It has a whole chemistry
lab. Is it just for bragging rights?
We're just tired of polluting this planet.
What's the point?
It's a robotic. Well, it's because they needed something to be able to pick up their kids from soccer on Mars. So, and the rovers we had were way too small for soccer moms. So we sent an SUV rover size. No, it has a full chemistry lab in it. So it can zap rocks with a laser from 30 feet away and then do spectrography on the smoke that comes out of the zapping to figure out what the rock is made of. So it's got all these really, it's got like 17 cameras. It can do cartwheels. It can put on plays for the Martians.
Dinner.
It's got popsicle stick puppets. It's the most, it's
and
got
a little door opens and all these clowns come out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah. It's got a microwave for microwave popcorn for when it wants to watch movies.
Awesome.
It can project them onto Martian hills and like watch like Wall-E. It can watch this. What was it? Sound of Music?
Yeah.
Music Man.
Paris and American.
Music Man. Music Man. Wally liked Music Man, right?
I don't remember.
Yes, you're right.
Okay. So anyway, so we got this really cool new rover. It cost $2.5 billion to put it there, but it does beg the question: what's it for?
Right.
And so I keep reading, like, what are we going to learn? And basically, what it all comes down to is, it is all to answer the question: is it possible that in the far past there was ever life on Mars?
Why do we care?
Well, that's my question.
Well, no. I think we care because we want to know.
We're not alone.
We're not alone.
No,
there's
but
potential.
We are now, because we know pretty much there isn't life now.
Right. But if there's evidence of life on other planets, then it sends a signal that the universe is basically predisposed to have life.
Yeah.
And it's not
what?
Just unique to Earth.
And then what?
Yeah.
And then what?
You are just the biggest killjoy, aren't you?
Call me Eeyore.
And then what? And then what? And then what?
Well,
so we solve the world's toiletry problems.
I think it's because
if you could spend $2.5 billion and let people poop in safety, you've done something.
Exactly.
You spent $2.5 billion to say, oh, okay, there wasn't life on Mars.
Do you think it's just because we have no other frontier out there and we feel like we still need to,
there's the part of it that says we have to keep exploring, but I think it's even... There's almost a part of it, and you get into the Carl Sagans of the world that bristle against the Christian narrative that says we are special, And so there was a lot of that when we moved to the heliocentric view that says, the Earth is not the center of the universe or the solar system, it's the sun. See, you silly Christians, we're not that special. We're not in a special. And then we found out, and even in our galaxy, the sun isn't even the center of our galaxy. We're on a tiny, and Sagan says this in Cosmos, says we're on an insignificant planet whirling around an insignificant star in an insignificant section of an insignificant galaxy.
But the irony of that is the more insignificant you think humans are based on what you're discovering about the universe, the more self-centered we're allowed to be.
Oh, we are.
Huh? Because if there is no greater story, if there is no bigger narrative that we're part of, then I am free to do whatever I want.
Right.
So that's the irony, is the less human-centric we become, the more humanist we become as a society.
So is this a $2.5 billion experience to see if we can become even more
humanist?
No,
I will attribute hopefully higher motivations to the scientists behind this project.
I just don't know. I don't know what it... Well, it answers a big question, but it doesn't lead to anything. Or you can say, so there must be life elsewhere, and we'll contact them so they can come and eat us. And that doesn't seem like a good end either.
You've been seeing too many sci-fi movies.
It never ends well. Do you know, we're sending, as of last week, there's a group that's sending tweets, projecting tweets into space. They've targeted the planet that seems the most Earth-like in deep space.
Are you making this
up?
No,
I just read this yesterday. And they're sending tweets, and you can actually tweet to this Twitter address, and your tweet will get spewed out across deep space in the general direction of this planet that is the most Earth-like.
Do we really want the first communication with another species to be tweets?
And they actually listed some of the first tweets that went out.
Oh,
and one of them was like, hey, buddy, can you spare 100 billion barrels of hydrocarbons? Because we're running low here. it's like, okay, what good? There's no good. No, it's once again, I'm railing against hopeless romanticism in futurism.
You're being Eeyore.
But it's where we're looking for a savior. We're looking for a way out. We're looking for a transcendent experience.
Here's the thing.
And we're rejecting anything spiritual. We're rejecting the supernatural. So we want to find something that's almost supernatural. Like, if we could find another intelligent race, and we'd all get along so well, because that has been our record in the past.
I take a slightly less pessimistic view of this.
I'll pretend I did that with my phone, but I didn't.
I think that it is just intrinsic to our human nature to want to be curious.
Yeah.
To want to answer questions, to discover, to explore. I think that is true even of those of us who know Christ and who find our communion with him to be transcendent and wonderful.
Right.
We still want to explore and ask
but
questions.
But shouldn't we try to solve problems? That's not solving any problems.
Well, I don't think it's. I think
both things can exist.
I think answering questions and wonder is just intrinsic to our human nature,
it
and
is.
So I applaud.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not sure that
God
$2 billion is the best use of the money. I think an argument could be made there. However, I don't think I want to just crush the spirits of those who are investing in their time and money and energy into these kinds
but
of
things.
But you know
what? Isn't there a verse?
Their
I know there
either.
Is that says our soul and our spirit is longing. For
alien life?
No, but it talks about these are only perishable tents that we live in.
Mm-hmm. Well, G.K. Chesterton said every man that walks into a brothel is actually searching for God.
That's right.
So is Mars our new brothel?
I don't think that's where he lives.
But,
Maybe what the point of that quote is, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I see
well,
that
but,
point.
But you're
Mars
making essentially
new brothel. Eeyore. Hey, that's T-shirt number 3. We got it, folks. Who wants
but
to walk into Sunday
that
school
argument.
With that one on?
You're saying the reason we spend $2 billion to go to Mars is because we're
yes.
actually looking for the
we're
transcendent,
for, yes.
the mysterious.
We're
all
looking
that.
For the wrong answer to the right question.
And if we would just go to church, we wouldn't have to spend $2 billion on Mars.
Well, no,
you know
it's
what?
Not that
it is
simple.
It's not about going to church.
Yeah, Sky.
I'm being facetious.
I know you
and
are.
Or synagogue.
Well, let's be inclusive. Mosque, synagogue, temple.
Okay, here's the deal. This leads me to what
Mars.
I have been thinking about this week.
Oh, okay.
And actually, it's for the last 2 weeks. But it started because I decided I had all this long driving to do, and I would buy an audiobook. And even though I've read about 20, I've listened to very few. Did I say that out loud? I didn't
mm-hmm.
mean to say that
yeah,
out loud.
Yeah, okay.
Concussion.
Anyway, so, yeah, so I got Crazy Love. And I started listening to that. That's by Francis Chan. And I'm driving down the road weeping as I'm listening to how much God loves me and how he just longs to be with me. And I thought, I haven't really sat with him, you know. And
right.
you've been talking a lot about this book with, and honestly, I haven't read it. But I like the ideas and the concepts of, I think I'm so busy with going to church or doing good things or thinking about what is right that I haven't just been with God.
Right.
And at the same time, I found this book, Sanctuary of the Soul by Richard Foster, and it talks and it was walking me through how to sit. And some deep longing was totally satisfied that hadn't been before.
Right.
That I didn't
right.
need to fill it with other stuff. And
like
I think
Mars.
That's or even
Mars.
The Olympics, watching the Olympics.
You should go to Mars. Do you know why you should go to Mars?
Because it's a brothel?
Because Mars needs moms. Remember that movie that was $100 million write down?
Yeah, but nobody saw it.
I know. That's why they lost $100 million.
They need to send a probe to go find out what happened to their $100 million.
Yeah.
Are you making fun of my silly
no.
points?
No, I'm not.
Christian's
point
is a very, very good one.
It's a good point.
And it's something that we've talked about a lot, and I say all the time, the irony within our tradition of the church is that we talk all the time about a personal relationship with God, and yet we never teach people how to actually have one.
Right.
Which is what you're reading
about.
That's
exactly what I'm reading, yeah.
Right.
Is that nobody has actually shown me how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm actually reading one of Dallas Willard's books on the disciplines because my sister said after I spoke at Okoboji a week ago Sunday or something like that, you know, and I ended with we need to experience God. We need to get to know God better. And she said, well, you need to tell people how to do that. You should actually encourage them to practice the disciplines and you know, experience God the way people throughout church history have. And I said, well, I'm not that familiar with that. And she said, well, here, read this Dallas Willard book. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm doing my homework so that
good for you.
I can keep teaching kids.
What have you learned?
More stuff. I'm not ready to summarize my findings.
Right.
In other words, I bought the book.
No, I'm like 5 chapters in. It's on my iPad.
Well, then you're not retaining very
I'm
well.
5 chapters
in. He doesn't
in.
Want to put
I'm
himself out there.
I'm not prepared to make qualitative statements about
the book.
You
are slow at processing sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
You want to be very careful.
What happened to all that
Thanks,
extra
Christian.
Space your brain is supposed to have because you only wear gray T-shirts?
Yes, exactly.
That's not about brain space. It's about, well, it kind of is.
Okay, we're digressing.
Yeah,
mental
okay.
constipation.
Our friends at the American Atheists have put up a new billboard. This is their favorite marketing technique, and it's for the Democratic National Convention. When folks go to the Democratic National Convention, they'll be greeted by billboards condemning religion, thanks to the American Atheists. The group is specifically targeting Mormonism and Christianity with the ads, which will be up starting, I guess, yesterday for a month in Charlotte, North Carolina. And they read, here's the billboard on Christianity, says, Christianity, sadistic God, useless Savior, 30,000 plus versions of truth, promotes hate, calls it love. It's accompanied by a picture of Jesus' image on toast.
Okay. I'm not actually upset about the message.
Have to stop and giggle for a while
okay.
first. Jesus on toast. Okay, now.
I'm not actually bothered by the message. I just think this is, they're violating one of the basic tenets of good marketing, which is keep it simple. They just have squeezed way too much stuff into one billboard. As you're flying by at 80 miles an hour, you can't read all that. We need just one simple message.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I get the sadistic God thing. They're looking at the Old Testament. They don't like, you know, they think that there's genocide with the Canaanites and Abraham and Isaac, you know. So, okay, I get that. Useless Savior, they don't support that at all.
What do you mean?
What they mean by that?
Well, what they mean is...
We don't need to be saved from anything.
Yeah, we don't need to be saved
anything.
Well,
they haven't established that at all.
Well, they only have so much
space.
Or that
we don't sin, so we don't need a Savior.
And then 30,000 versions of truth.
What does that mean?
I think that's a reference to the number of Christian denominations.
I don't think there are 30,000 denominations.
I think that's where they're getting that from.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And truth is in quotes, like...
Yeah, right.
You know, wink,
right. Supposed,
wink, truth.
Supposed, yeah. And promotes hate, calls it love.
Yeah.
I guess that's about gay marriage.
Yeah, this is our Chick-fil-A
conversation. But you know, let me tell you something.
Again.
But let me tell you something. There is an element of truth here.
No, there is not.
Yes, there is.
Jesus is not on toast.
Here's the deal. Atheists are looking at Christianity.
Yes.
And we do not have a very good reputation because in a lot of that, if I was to look at what I know as Christianity, I wouldn't agree with it either.
Well, okay. Fair enough. We need to do a little self-reflection and repent as required. But to be fair, you can go all the way back to the first century when a lot of us would say Christianity was not necessarily as tainted as it is today. And even then, Romans used to accuse Christians of being cannibals.
Right.
Because
you're eating the body and blood of,
right, because
of this guy named Jesus. That's cannibalism.
Last Supper.
So from the very beginning, Christians have been misunderstood and
right,
presented as crazy. Yeah. And so there's going to be a degree of that no matter what.
Here's what's going on. This the billboards, and they've been doing them for a few years now. And it's very effective because you pay for one billboard, but you put it in a high traffic area and it gets news coverage.
Right.
Well, that's true. So
that's how we find out.
And
about
here
it.
We are talking about it on the podcast.
Why aren't we suckers?
Oh, it worked. But anyway, it's put out by the American Atheists. I was on Sean Hannity's radio show with the spokesman for the American Atheists, the guy who actually writes all their stuff. And we got to know each other a little bit, and we've emailed back and forth. I actually went and listened to his podcast. And one of the things that he said in one of his podcasts, he was talking about how to debate Christians. And he said, at some point, it becomes useless to actually try to out-argue a Christian. So the most effective technique is to then ridicule them.
Hmm.
And that's really, for a lot of these things, it's more about ridicule than and about a rational argument, because that's more effective.
Absolutely. Because emotion is better than reason.
We hate to
more
look
effective.
Silly.
Right.
We hate to look silly. And I actually think it's a good thing. I'm going to go out on a limb and say... atheists of America putting up billboards.
You're thanking them?
Yes. Criticizing Christians is a good thing because it forces us to process what we believe. Because it's so easy to be a Christian in America that you can be a Christian without never having thought about why.
Good point.
Or whether you can actually defend what you believe. But an atheist putting up one billboard with one, you know, like they put up a billboard that had a picture of Jesus and the Easter Bunny and Neptune. And said, you know, they're all a myth, right?
I think Neptune's real.
The god Neptune?
Oh, I thought.
Not the planet. No,
well,
a picture of the planet.
I know Pluto got booted. It was totally fictional.
Yeah, no, didn't they reinstate it?
He got thrown right out of those Disney cartoons.
I think they reinstated it.
So anyway, the cool thing is that it makes you... think, wait a minute, what is the difference between believing in Jesus and believing in the Easter Bunny? And if you can't defend that, if you don't even know, that should be a wake-up call. And I think this is the same thing, because this makes you, as a Christian, and the problem is that we tend to react very, with much hostility, and we want to, like, burn down the sign, or we want
to... Right,
know,
that
go,
gets to the Christians are easily offended.
It proves
thing.
Their
yes,
point.
Yes, we are easily offended, rather than saying, okay, do I even have a response for that? Why don't I believe God is sadistic? Why, you know, do I really believe there are 30,000 different versions? We've all got our versions of the truth. I think it's valuable to be poked at, and I think... And this is obviously where things are headed. You know, it is going to be much harder to be a Christian in America. Not that it will be hard, but it's been ridiculously easy. and it's going to be harder than ridiculously easy to be a Christian, which means to be a Christian, you actually have to think it's worth it. You know, you actually have to think it through. You actually have to process it. You actually have to say, this gives me enough value. I find this true enough that I am okay being ridiculed for my beliefs. And many of us aren't there yet.
Well, that was exactly my experience in college. I went to actually went to Miami University, which is the...
In Ohio.
The alma mater of Paul Ryan, who's getting a lot of press about that right now.
Oh, yeah.
He was there just a few years before me. But in a secular environment like that, a secular university, there is really no advantage to being a Christian. If you identify as a Christian, it doesn't get you anywhere. Exactly. You're going
to
get ridiculed. Right. So, but what's interesting about it is for me and others who were part of a Christian community there, we were really committed because being lukewarm just made no sense whatsoever. You either were one or you weren't one because being in the middle was pointless. And there's a purifying effect that has. And it was really good for me. It made me think about it, made me answer questions and learn about a reasonable defense of my faith. And it taught me how to interact and live alongside people who believe very differently than I do in meaningful community rather than just separating out. And those are all qualities that the rest of the church is going to have to learn more and more as we become more pluralistic as a culture. And where being a Christian, in some cases, will be ridiculed.
Good point. I agree with all of that.
And that's okay. Right?
Right.
We're okay with that? You okay with that?
I think these atheists have every right to put up a silly billboard.
I think we should send them a gift.
And is the
T-shirt.
What is the appropriate Christian response to put up a billboard insulting atheists?
Do not fight fire with fire. Do not return evil for evil.
Let's put up a billboard that thanks them.
Thanks for the billboard, Mickey. Remember those ads? Thanks for the gumball, Mickey.
Oh,
it was for the little gumball machines.
I remember that. That was a long time ago.
That was
ago.
A very long time ago.
I have no memory of that.
Thanks for the billboard, atheist.
I think I probably wasn't born.
Yeah,
how old are you?
I am 36. 36.
You're like 10 years younger than us.
Yeah, a full decade. We've got a decade.
And how much
on
wiser?
Gosh. Okay, well...
As Indiana Jones said,
I might say you are wiser than me.
As Indiana Jones said, it's not the years, it's the mileage.
I don't even know what that means
either. Is it time to sum up? I see you with your ukulele.
It is time to sum up. We're out of time.
This is so fun.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about, we had a couple of questions based on our interview with my brother Rob last week that I wanted to get into, but we don't have time, so maybe we'll do those next week.
But next week we do have a guest.
We have a guest next
week. Let's let Sky introduce the guest.
Who's the guest?
Brandon O'Brien, who is an author.
Hi, Brandon O'Brien.
Yes, he's very Irish.
Top of the morning to
That's
you.
Good.
Thank you. he and I worked together at Christianity Today. He was the associate editor of Leadership Journal. We're still both on staff with them in some capacity, but he has co-written a really fascinating new book called Misreading Scripture Through Western Eyes and how our cultural assumptions differ from those in the original audience of the Bible, and that leads us to all kinds of false conclusions about very popular passages of Scripture. So we're going to talk to him about that.
Wow.
He's also a PhD candidate in church history.
Mm.
So, bright fellow.
Well, yeah, that's exciting.
Like
he'll be here next week.
And next week, maybe we can answer those questions because I'd like to know the answers. And we have a
You don't even know what the questions are.
I read them.
Oh, that's right. I put them on the sheet.
Yeah.
They were on the sheet. Right. We're heading into a political season that's probably going to be a bit rocky.
Wouldn't
you say? And so
concur.
It becomes much more relevant to say, all right, how do Christians posture themselves in this environment? Are we supposed to jump into the fray? Are we supposed to come out guns blazing, defending what is right against the evils of everyone else? Or what do we do? Do we just lie down and let it happen and say, well, I'm turning the other cheek?
What do you think, listeners? Let us know.
Yeah, we will discuss these things in coming weeks, and then we'll tell you who to vote for.
No, we will not.
We don't have 30,000 versions of the truth, just the right one. Which is number 21,478.
So put your questions on Phil's Facebook page.
Yes.
Or philvischer.com or the iTunes page.
Plinky Pete wants to send you home with a song. Oh, you can put your truth on a billboard, but the drivers might get a little bored if they don't know what you're talking about. Or they might get really mad and shout, but we're Christians, so we should try to behave and love our neighbors, even the atheist ones. And maybe especially
Amen.
The atheist ones. Atheists.
Oh, there's that resolving chord.
Now we're done. Thanks for coming to the show. We will see you next week.
Thanks, everybody.
On the Phil Vischer Podcast.
Adios.
Goodbye.